Hey, it's Tommy Thayer from KISS. You're listening to Podcast Rock City. Check it out.
Joe here for Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Sonny. You can read it down there. Hollywood Pony!
What's up, people? To give you a glimpse of what happens between 657 and 659, we talked about feel up, oral, doing it, all artists are the same, something. I don't.
It's true.
It was a lot in like 120 seconds.
And the guy that will be getting some oral surgery this week, PRCBZ, Brent. Look at that. I did it right.
You did it right. And yes, I was going to say, you misheard. You left out an important word in there. Oral surgery. Not nearly as fun.
Does anybody hear that?
Yeah, something's buzzing. It's like a phone on a table.
Like, not mine.
Just how about that?
There you go.
Yeah, there it went. Okay.
There's something all buzzing right over there. There's something about feeling up and doing it and buzzing, yeah, and there's all kinds of stuff.
Brent has a vibrator with him in his Archie
Bunker. No, chair. We were discussing Ace's vibrato. That's what was going
on.
That's
right. All right. So yes. Listen, thank you guys for tuning in. We want you to know that we love you. Man, there is a lot to talk about. Some news that, well, I don't know about everybody on this show, but it blew my mind. We'll talk about it. And but before that, happy Mother's Day to everybody out there, all the moms anyway. If you're not a mom, maybe one day you will be.
Wow. So wrong.
I don't know. I don't know how that works. From what I hear, I could be a mom. And sometimes I hear that I can't. So
I can't wait till Father's Day.
Yes.
Happy Father's Day to all the dads out there. And maybe you're a dad and you don't know it.
Yes, that could be possible. Let's go ahead and get to the news.
Podcast Rock City News.
Let me tell you something. First of all, there's a whole bunch of information coming out of Creatures Fest. I'm going to share a little bit of that with you guys right now. First things first, I want to show you something that looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. That's this right here. Sonny, can you guys see that on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. Creatures Fest. If you guys are going to Creatures Fest and you're a singer or a drummer or a bass player or a guitar player or whatever, get in touch with these people. I'm going to give you the address, and then you can get on stage at Creatures Fest and jam. It says Creatures Fest calling all singers and musicians, KISS Army fan band. Are you a singer that has dreamed of performing on stage? That's enough right there. Are you a drummer, bass player, guitarist, and would like to show off your skills? Then the Dale Walter KISS Army fan band could be for you. All right, so Sunday, May 29th, the Dale Walter KISS Army fan band is going to be doing their stuff, man. They're going to be doing the show and performing songs. The email address is creaturesfest@gmail, and contact l.dalewalter for the details. I probably will be doing this. I'm not 100% yet, but I'll decide in the next couple of days. I don't shy away from getting on stage and making an ass of myself. But everybody knows that. You guys, Sonny,
are you bringing your harmonica?
Yes, I blow like nobody else. So Brent, what do you think about this? Is cool.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I expected something like this to happen. I think that's a good way to give us lesser qualified musicians an opportunity to just get together and do something that's kind of loose and fun. And, you know, it's similar to like what Joey's going to be doing with the actual musicians, but this is just going to be, you know,
a train
sort of friends and family, in a way, but in a fun way.
It'll be fun, and we'll see how it goes. I'm willing to bet that we can pull it off. Sonny and Brent, you guys have all been to Rockin' Pod, right? And we've performed at Rockin' Pod before, and we've pulled that off pretty well, actually. And that's with no rehearsals, everybody just getting in touch with everybody and saying, learn this song and guitar. Now, here's the big question. See, all right, for you guys out there that don't know, I'm a guitar player by trade. This is what I do for a living. I am a professional musician, not in the same way Joey is, but I get paid to teach music and I own my own music store. However, if this jam is going to be on that stage with that tank, I'm playing drums. I mean,
I could use his kid. I'm playing drums.
No, but I'm going to play drums.
I'm playing drums.
Well, I'll sit up there and just.
Do I just got to play one drum at a time? I could do that.
That'd be great. I'll just tell you the timing. 1, 2, 3, 4, and just boom, boom, boom. I'm just saying, if I have the opportunity to get on the stage and sit on that tank and play drums, I'm going to do that. I mean, it makes sense.
I think it might have said that this is taking place in the room with like the dealers and the tables and stuff.
There's a dealer we're not in Vegas.
City. Said Expo City. I don't know what that means.
That's probably where we're going to be.
Yeah. And it all depends on the timing, right?
So your dreams have just been crushed, night. Joe.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this, though, and this is true. I will figure out a way to get on that kit and on that tank. And
he's already going to let us on it. Remember?
Picture. No, I'm talking about playing drums. I'm going to play drums on that tank, and I'm going to have video of it, and it is going to become everything in my life. I'm going to get rid of the pictures of my kid and Karen off my Facebook thing. It'll be just me. Yeah, it'll be amazing.
I think they are missing an opportunity with this. And here's what I mean by that. You know, they've focused on let's sell VIP for Peter. Let's sell VIP for Vinny. They ought to be like selling a fan ticket to like go up and pose on the tank.
I'll pay $100 to play drums for 5 minutes. No problem.
Yeah, but we don't know that the meet and greet isn't in front of the tank. Nobody said it wasn't.
No, that's a good point.
That's
a good point. Heavy Mayo is here. Josh is here. Ray is here. William's here. Everybody's here. Thank you guys for being here. You guys can comment. Let us know what you think. All right. The next thing. Now, this is where it gets kind of crazy. So I'm really excited about this. When I saw this announcement the other day, I was like, I didn't even have words. There it is right there. Look, as soon as you go on here, I get the Creatures Fest, the Holy Trinity, Ace Frehley, Bruce Kulick, and Vinnie Vincent will all perform together live for the first time ever. I'm just going to say it. That is the metaphorical cherry on top. Yes?
I'm just trying to figure out, because remember we were talking about there's no way all three guys are going to be there all three nights. I guess technically you don't have to be. You could do this on Saturday night and all three could be there.
But I'm thinking, I think I heard that it's going to happen when, is Vinny the first night or is Ace the first night?
Ace is the first night. Vinny is the second night.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, however they got it worked out, it's going to be amazing. I'm stoked about it. This is leaning me a little bit closer to buying a VIP ticket.
Well, but then I started thinking, they're going to play what? They don't ever intersect in KISS history. So what are they going to play?
Oh, no, but they can. They can. Rock they can play any night. Of it. No. Because Vinny and Bruce have played all of Ace's stuff. So they could play what? Plaster Caster. No problem. It wouldn't be
so hard. Basically, you're relegated to playing Ace's stuff because Ace is never going to learn Bruce and Vinny's stuff.
Unless
is that
it's
what we're
rock
saying?
And roll all night.
He's never even heard the song.
I don't know about learning, but I would definitely say it's not necessary. I mean, I would imagine the other guys are going to be like, I mean, we already know how to play Christine 16 or Detroit Rock City or any of that stuff.
They're going to do Good Times, Bad Times?
What are they going to do? You're getting overly excited about this. I mean, it is a neat idea. It's cool. Is what they're going to do going to be good? No, it's not. They're just, it's going to be a mess around type thing.
You think so?
I'd be shocked.
You have to come to Ace because Ace, love the guy. He is not a guy who can just go up and start jamming whatever. That he ain't that guy.
I don't know. Well, we're going to wait. All right. How about this? Let's wait and see, and maybe we'll be surprised. I think we are, and you guys think that we're not. I think I'm right. I got $5 says that we're going to be surprised.
Joe, wait. You can change your name to Homer. Just change it to Homer.
No, why are you so mean to me?
I would love it if they came out and it was fantastic and rehearsed and cool and all that. That's not what I expect. The thrill is seeing the three of them up there together and taking the picture and being able to say you were there. And it's cool. And look, it's just like you said, it's the icing on the cake because Neil's already giving us everything. This whole long weekend is turning into everything that the final KISS tour should have been, you know? It's going to be fun, but like, am I super excited? Oh, the three of them are going to play together. Yeah. I mean, it's just going to be what it's going to be. And that's the value of it.
Oh, this is so exciting for me. All right.
So I'll say another thing on this. So with Neil and Dale, right, they've put together this thing that on paper looks absolutely amazing. Executing it operationally is a whole other thing. If they pull this thing off, this is a thing of a lifetime right here. This is amazing. Getting everybody together is amazing enough to be able to pull off all the stuff that's going on now and not have it cannibalizing each other is ridiculous.
Yeah. This is something else. I'm not sure that they've ever, I know that Neil has been involved in big like festivals like this. I don't know that he's ever done one this big, but of course we're all rooting for him. We really,
of course.
This is one thing that I'll tell you.
Oh yeah.
This is going to be twice to three times the size of the Atlanta Expo when Vinny showed up and the guy that ran that crashed and burned really hard. At least in our opinion, we were all there. We were hearing people complain. It was hot. There were almost fights. I don't think we're going to get any of that. I think that these guys are going to be organized and there'll be a timely thing and they'll do their best to stick to it. And I think it's going to be amazing. And I am so excited, not just for the KISS thing, but I'm going to get to hang out with you two guys and Quesada. It's very exciting. Just so you guys know, at our table, we will be there. And I'm going to have a pool full of Jell-O, and Sonny and Joey are going to wrestle in it.
You might see that on Friday morning.
I thought it was baby oil.
Yeah, it might be Friday morning in the pool. I don't know.
That's awesome. Thank you guys for watching along with us. We've got a hot topic. Was there anything else? I think KISS just finished their South America tour.
Did they finish?
We didn't even mention... Yeah.
Go ahead.
So what we didn't even mention the Creatures box set.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because I don't expect it's ever going to come out.
Come on. It's got to happen.
Okay. So there's a Creatures of the Night box set. Brent, I know you read all about it. Tell us.
So according to Gene, that they are preparing a Creatures box set that's got all kinds of demos and behind the scenes audio. That was what I think he was talking about. Didn't see anything about video or anything like that, but just, I don't know. That made me, you know, being one of my favorite Kiss records, I think it's one of all of our favorites. It made me very excited that could be something that's going to happen. And, you know, yeah, Gene shoots his mouth off about a lot of stuff that never comes together, but something made him say that, because that's not the kind of stuff he goes out there and talks about. He goes out there, well, we know the garbage he's always talking about. So talking about a product, especially a specific audio product like that, is not something he normally brings up.
Normally does, right.
Something made him say it.
Sonny?
Yeah, if it's demos like, here is Creatures of the Night with the Steve Ferris solo. Here's what Rick Derringer did with it. Here's what Richie Sambora was thinking about doing with it. Here's what Doug Aldridge did with it. Ace tried, he got through two bars and quit. Like, if it's that kind of stuff, I'm 100% in.
Man, 100%. Imagine if there is Ace Frehley demo stuff.
You have Ace, to assume.
That'd be amazing.
Ace seems to think. It can't just be somebody steps in and plays the solo from X to X. There's got to be 83 takes of five different people, you would think.
Yeah. Well, I guess we'll just have to. That's another thing we're going to have to wait. I'm very excited about it. I did enjoy the Destroyer box set. However, I do not have the kind of sound system for listening to that Blu-ray. I wish 5.1. I did.
Yeah,
I don't have that kind of a sound system in my house, but I hear it's amazing. Brett, you listen, you've done it, right?
I did. I took it out to the ranch and put it on, and I would call that box set worth the price for the book alone, because I really, really actually enjoyed that, and you know, spent a lot of time with it. But when I popped that 5.1 in, you know, I usually don't get that much enjoyment out of those things, but that was just so cool to hear such a familiar record reworked in that way. I loved it.
So, and I'm sorry because I don't really understand it, but isn't it like depending on where you are in the room, it sounds different, or what's the deal with that?
Other than two channel separation, it's five channel separation with a bass head. So that's what the 5.1 is. So, And so it's true. If you sit kind of middle center, it's true immersive mixing.
Wow. Yeah. What is a sound system like that?
And that's such a cinematic record. So it really delivers in 5.1. Creatures in 5.1, you know, I think all that would happen is you'd really feel the thump of the drums out of the subwoofer, you know, but that's a more simple approach. So, but it works for Destroyer for sure.
All right. Well, I guess we're going to have to wait and see what happens. And I'm very excited about it. Anything else you guys could think of? Nope. Good. Here we go. Let's get to the topic of the week.
Podcast Rock City. Topic of the week.
So I'll go ahead. It's really funny. I smell like John Cena cologne. It's awesome. I was like, oh, this smells good. John Cena is sexy too. All right. So
just that you know what John Cena cologne smells like is bad.
What are you even talking about?
I was just sitting here and I got a whiff of my cologne. Today I was going to church and I shhed with my son's cologne and I realized it was John Cena cologne. And because my son's cool, man. When he gets to school, when he goes to get out of the car, first thing he does, pops a breath mint. Second thing he does, cologne. Psh, that's smooth, right? No.
Oh, my God. Joe, any Axe body spray?
You know, yeah. I had a joke there, but since it's Mother's Day, I'm not going to do that. I was going to mention that I left it next to her the bed. Anyway, all right. So this is what I can tell you guys. Okay. Listen, Rosie Luck is in the room. I don't know if there's any other girls in the room. Rosie, John Cena, is it smooth to put cologne on and pop a breath mint before you go in? You're a junior in high school. You let us know. All right.
Topic or Rosie, week. Is it better just to take a shower?
No, of course he takes a shower. Of course he takes a shower, but I'm just saying that's like a little extra, man. Yeah. It's like, what's up? All right. So, all right. Topic of the week. We're going to talk about kiss. Listen, it says cologne is gross.
Yeah, Rosie. Rosie. Love Rosie.
My sentiments exactly.
If my son is watching, I'll get him out of the car. He'll be like, I'm not putting that shit on. That's what he'll say to me. Okay, so we're going to talk about Kiss lead guitar players today. And, of course, we're going to go through chronological order because that's the smart thing to do. And the first lead guitar – listen, first thing I can tell you is as far as being a lead guitar player, if you listen to my records – I play like Ace, and Ace plays like Jimmy Page. So I play like Ace playing Jimmy Page. But I love Ace's style playing, and he's the first one. Ace Frehley, one of the greatest things about his lead guitar playing is every one of us can sing most of his leads. They're not really that busy. They can get busy, but they're not always busy. And the cool thing, as far as me being a guitar player, is I think he peaks and valleys his guitar solos. So in my opinion, what he does is he plays something really simple, and then he builds it up and builds it up and builds it up and then brings it down, and then he does the same thing, but it's very melodic. And that's what I love about Ace Frehley's guitar solos, besides the fact that in 1977 and 1976 and so he's just the coolest motherfucker on the stage. Every pose he did was kick ass. You always were worried that he was going to fall down, but I mean, and I know I'm sure he did, but Ace Frehley, man, he's just, you know, three words, space with Ace, right? Sonny?
You know, I've called him Slopalicious before. Homie is sloppy. There's no doubt. And I swear to God, with the chain or the bracelets he's got on one hand and the rings on the other, when he's playing, the rings are hitting the strings, the bracelets are hitting he doesn't care. He just kind of keeps going. And that's kind of what gives Ace his flavor. I'll tell you, I thought Anthony had it dead on when he started first listening to Kiss. He goes, that guitar solo, he repeats the lick a lot. I don't hear that other guitar solos, but Ace does that a lot. Right. And it's just, it's his style. I am a total Ace guy. Ace is my guy. He's my favorite guy in Kiss. He always has been. He's a little nuts. The whole drunk thing, falling over almost, that's totally identified with the guy. The guy is who everybody wants to be, as cool as hell. He's crazy now, but who isn't in their 70s? Right. And he was great in the 80s too. So I love Ace. I've got zero problem with Ace. I think Ace gets a lot of credit, though, for a lot of the rhythm parts that were written that he basically just played what Paul told him to play. I think Ace gets a little too much credit for some of that stuff. But when it comes to the solos and all that and the cool factor, there's a cool factor.
Brent?
Well, the only thing I disagree with what both of you have said is I don't think you can give Ace enough credit. Without Ace, Kiss never becomes a household name without that guy. He is, sure, he is not the greatest guitar player, but he always has such massively accessible and listenable style that, you know, technique, precision doesn't matter. Ace understood the simplicity of harmonics, how to get those pentatonic scale solos that you can sing, you know? He would throw flash in there, but he never overdid it. He always knew when to pull back. You know, he always knew just how far to bend that note and when to let it ring out and when to break it, you know? We were joking about vibrato earlier, but, you know, master of vibrato. I mean, he can make stuff like chicken picking sound cool, you know? I mean, this is the guy who... unlike any other of the original members of Kiss, this is the guy who influenced everyone to want to become a musician. And, you know, he bust out that staccato phrasing and pick in all these weird directions. And I mean, Joe, I know teaching his solos, I mean, that's gotta be hard. He'll bend that note all the way up and into the next note and then double that thumb over and pick the note that he's bending into to double it, to double down on it.
Right.
I mean, just doing the weirdest, coolest stuff. And,
absolutely.
And so, you know, when people are like, oh, he's not inventive, or, you know, when you look at the pinch notes and all those striking harmonics, I mean, technically there is actually a lot going on, and the guy's doing all this without any pedals. Ace is not a pedal guy. You know, you talk about like Page. I mean, that's pedal heavy playing, and that just wasn't Ace's deal. So I don't know. I mean, I'm gushing too much, I guess, but I love
him. The truth was he was Les Paul to Marshall. That was Ace's thing. It still is. You know, and he used a wah pedal on a few different songs, but just a couple. It was mostly just what Ace could do. And I want to say a flange every once in a while, but that was pretty much it. But the truth is that you could go, there is a long, long, and we all know this already. And every one of you guys that is listening or watching already know, there is a long list of 80s guitar players that were influenced or inspired by Ace Frehley. And if it wasn't his playing, it was just his, how cool he was, his style, his, I mean, just Ace being Ace, you know? And I've said this on the show 100 times, and that was that Steven Adler went to school with Slash, said the first day they met, they went to the house, he put on Kiss Alive 2, and all he did was stand around and do his Ace Frehley poses. If that doesn't explain Ace's influence, just the way the guy stood holding the guitar influenced people, you know? So it's just like we're all saying right here, Ace is the place for help for heart. Sorry.
And there is something he's doing that's different in a lot of different ways. But the other thing that I notice, especially guys who play a lot of Les Pauls, they are either changing their guitar out every song or they're constantly tuning. I have never seen Ace tune and he doesn't change his guitar out. So is he always in tune or it just doesn't matter? Like, I don't know.
I've seen him change his guitar.
It's not like every song, and he's bending somebody notes.
No, you're right. You're right. No, and he beats that thing up. He beats that thing up. It's just a lot of it depends on the strings that he uses and as well and how new they are. That's a big deal because the older the string, the more you have to tune it. And you bend it, it's going to go out of tune a lot easier. All right, so as far as Ace goes, like you said, without Ace, Kiss isn't in my room. Yeah?
Kiss isn't in my life without Ace. If I don't connect with Ace, I don't think Kiss is in my life long term.
Right. Okay, so what happened next? Next, he leaves the band, and we get Vinnie Vincent. I have a magazine, a 16 magazine, where it is it's like a small blurb where it's announcing that Vinnie Vincent is in the band, but it also says in there, I'll take a picture of it and put it on the Facebook for you guys to see it. It also says that hopefully Ace will be back soon. Which was very interesting because it was like, even though they were on tour, they were still talking in the magazines, or maybe the band was talking about how maybe one day Ace would be back for them to be, you know, for them to say this. As far as Vinnie Vincent goes, this is what I know. I meet kids. I met about five of them in Atlanta at the thing where he came out of hiding. I don't know how many years ago that was now, 3 years ago. That were hardcore Vinnie Vincent guitar players. They never heard anybody play guitar like that, and they wanted to play guitar because that's what they heard. And these kids were all under the age of 23, I would say, which is really amazing when you think about that, because it takes a special kid that's not in their, that's in their early 20s to be going back to the invasion, or even to kiss,
yeah,
you know, lick it up, or, you know, so he was very inspirational as well. And if you go online, you can find numerous tutorials where people are talking about Vinny and his playing. For me, as far as I go, I feel like it's a little too busy for me. I'm not saying that I don't enjoy it, but what I'm saying is sometimes it feels like uncontrolled, if that makes sense. Let's go to Brent first. I know you're a big Vinny fan.
I am a big Vinny fan. When he replaced Ace, to me, this is kind of, in a lot of ways, the only guy they could have gotten, because he had a weird look and he had a lot of style and he was an odd character, but none of that he did was a copy of Ace. He was always his own, you know, persona. And let's face it, the guy's a very good songwriter, and I love his playing and style. I mean, and Gene can complain all he wants about buzzing bees and long solos and, you know, whatever his gripes are, and that's fine. I do understand where Gene's coming from with some of it, but I'm not of that opinion. I mean, for me personally, I love what Vinny did. I love that style. I love that speed. I love the smoothness with which he pulled all of that off. You know, when he starts blazing the frets, I love it. And I know not everybody digs it the way that I do, but they're, and it's clean playing too. And that's the other thing. I love distorted guitar, but I love the way Vinny plays as well. And so that's just me personally. Granted, very unusual guy. And also, I'll just say, I get that he's a difficult person from the working standpoint. I'm just talking about when you put on the song, or would go see them live and he would play, it hit the sweet spot for me.
Sonny?
So I'm going to leave all the crazy Vinny business dealings kind of out of this, right? So this is an opinion that is not tainted by that. Okay, so just kind of follow me here.
He's a taint.
Amazing songwriter. I love the riffs. I love it when he plays melodic solos, and he is a decent singer. When he goes to what Gene would say bumblebee, I need that bumblebee playing to either be neoclassical clean like Malmsteen, technically proficient like a Paul Gilbert, or silky smooth like a Steve Vai. And that's not what I get out of Vinny. That's just me personally. So that's where he loses me. Like he'll get me to the, you know, to like the middle of the solo. It's like, dude, come back, come back, come back. And then he comes back for about two bars. It's like, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Like, no, come back, come back, come back. You know, so I'm always kind of fighting myself listening to some of that stuff. But the songwriting's so good that both Invasion albums are awesome to me because they're written so well. Because he does write all the riffs. He's writing all the lyrics. Yeah, the lyrics are past Paul Stanley crazy sometimes, but you know what? So what? It was the 80s. That, like, that doesn't bother me. But, and this is going to sound harsh. I apologize for it sounding harsh. But when he starts playing fast, it doesn't sound good to me. I wanted these other guys instead.
Right. But everybody, that's one of the things that I'm finding out listening, because in the past, I would say month and a half, I've been listening to a lot of different kinds of guitar players, just because as a guitar player, I love guitar players. It just depends on the day where I lean. I mean, I'm all over the place, but Vinny, when he plays, if it gets too fast, it just becomes, it's almost like when I lived in Miami, the there was a Cuban kid that lived down the street, and his mom was amazing. She would cook for us all the time, but then she would start yelling at him in Spanish, or and I was like, what is happening? And he was like, I don't understand her either. And it was really funny. And that's what I feel like sometimes, even like it has to be clean if you're going to be a shredder. But you know, the thing is that some people hear that and hear beauty. And that's one of the things that makes, you know, everybody different. All right. Vinny was in the band for a couple records or one record, and he was gone. And then we got Mark St. John, who was really in for a snap. But and here's the thing. Unfortunately, and maybe you guys know, I can't even tell you exactly what songs he played on Animalized, because I know it wasn't all him. I know even Bruce played. So Sonny, Brent, do you guys know?
I'm going to pull it up while Brent's talking.
Okay, go ahead, Brent. Mark St. John.
Yeah, I never really understood what Mark was trying to do. That was the period where I started to kind of, my interest in the band fell away, not just because of what they were doing, but I was kind of changing and getting interested in other stuff. You know, with Mark, I feel badly for the guy with, you know, the way everything turned out for him, not just with Kiss, but just with his health, his life, all that. But I'm just going to say it, the way that he plays guitar and the songs that he's playing on, I don't have any connection to him as a guitarist at all. And not to belittle him as a person, but to me, he is the least important member of Kiss, period. Just of everybody who's been in Kiss, I put him at the bottom.
Well, there you go. I'm not going to lie. I agree. I think that it was obviously important that he joined the band because they couldn't find anybody else, apparently. And he was, introduced to them by a friend. So yeah. I guess that's how that all worked out. But I mean, in the end, I'll tell you this. I do have to say that I love the mystery behind him. I would love that there is stories that, yes, he's been on stage with them. No, he hasn't been on stage with them. However, there are pictures of him on stage standing next to Bruce playing guitar with the other guys there that you could find online. I've seen them myself. So obviously, he's been on stage, even if it was for just Rock and Roll All Night, to play a song, you know? But I would love to see some video. If he ever did get on stage, even if it was for Rock and Roll All Night, I would like to see that. There's a lot of mystery with this guy. You know, he did go ahead and start his own band, White Tiger. I have it over there, and it's still in the cellophane. Never opened. And one day it'll be worth $3. Okay. So anyway, Sonny, what did he play on?
All right. So he played on everything except for the guitar solo on Lonely as the Hunter and Murder in High Heels. So he's got all the other guitar solos.
So it's him and everything else.
Yep. And I remember buying that album, right? I'd only heard Heaven's on Fire. Buying that album, dropping the needle, and I've Had Enough. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, who is that guy playing guitar? Because it felt more to the style that I liked versus what Vinny was doing, if that makes sense. So I was like, oh, well, that's very interesting. And then I'm like, God, is he going to fit? Because when you listen to some of the older songs, like, I can't imagine Mark playing those songs, right? Like, that's it for sure. So basically, you took a guitar teacher and a trained technical guitarist, and threw him in Kiss because he had long hair and he was willing to do it, basically, and he could. But I think even Gene in interviews has said, we didn't need that. Right. And this whole thing about, you know, could he play the same thing twice? I think that's mean. Right. If the guy's a technical player, yes, he can play the same thing twice. It might not sound like it to you, but the guy's fine. That isn't the problem. The problem is it doesn't fit what you want. And you don't know how to tell the guy what you want different. So you just kind of shit on what he was doing, which is probably not cool. Right. Long term, I don't think they can make it with this guy.
Right. No, I agree. I think in the end, I mean, it is super sad. And I'll tell you this. When I saw him at a KISS convention here in Atlanta, and I literally did not recognize him. I never looked past his face to the sign that said Mark St. John. So I never met him. I was 10 feet away from him. I never walked over and said, hey, how you doing? I never had him sign Animalize, which would have been cool. At this point, I think he had been through a lot. And it's really a sad story because, you know, if you guys want to hear the story, go look it up. I know the guys on Kistery Science Theater, which happens to be the best and probably the greatest KISS podcast of all time. Go look that up. That's my opinion. Go look it up and check it out. They do a whole thing, I think, on Mark St. John. And when you hear the story, it is really messed up, man, because it's like the guy was trying so hard, you know, to get out of a hole, and it just didn't seem to work. So
and we've all been in the studio, so it's very possible that, especially because everything we see is written as Paul did the rhythm guitar tracks and Mark St. John is labeled as the lead guitar player only, it's very possible that it's like, okay, Mark, sit in that chair. All right, from 306 to 342, we need you to play a solo. It's in this key. Go. Too many notes. Take about 30% of the fat out. Go. Now, not enough bends. Take about 20% more of the fat out. Go. Bring about 10% of the fat back. Go. Like, can you imagine? Like, he's just sitting there going, all right, you want me to just keep going until you like something? Or I don't understand what you want me to do here.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Eight times. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know if I would have done that.
And who produced that album? I've forgotten. Who produced the record?
Paul and Gene get producing credits because Michael Jim Jackson jumped out.
No wonder they did not get what they want. This guy went nuts trying to give them anything. Yeah, no wonder, man. No wonder.
Right. If you guys are watching live right now, don't forget you can leave a comment, hit the like button, hit the the thumbs up button. And also, we hit 500 subscribers this week. Thank you very much for doing that for us. Now we're on our way to, we did that in 3 months. I'm just saying, I'm the only one that promotes because I only do it like once a day. Maybe. we love doing the show though. So subscribe if you get a chance. So Mark St. John was recommended by Grover Jackson of Jackson Guitars. So that was who it was. Okay. So Mark's out of the band because he gets sick. I think what they called it was like writer's disease or something like that, where his hand swole up and he couldn't play. So this guy that Paul knows has a brother. And the brother is, you know, this is the funny part. It's like, I keep hearing this guy's last name and everybody says it differently. So I'm just going to say it the way I say it. And then if we get to see him at Creatures Fest, I'm going to ask him the correct pronunciation. Cause when he was on our show, he didn't tell me I said it wrong, which is okay. Maybe he is a sweetheart, you know? Okay. So Bruce Kulick, jumps on for the tour, right? So they needed a lead guitar player. And Paul said it was very strange because Mark was standing right off to the side and Bruce was playing, you know, on stage. Bruce Kulick became very important, as far as I'm concerned, to the band, because he was the first guitar player that they had that went, what do you need? I'll do it. And, you know, and that at that point right there, that made Paul and this might have been a huge part in them saying, Mark, you're out, Bruce, you're in, was the fact that they finally got to go and relax. You know, this is our guy. He can do it all. He, you know, he said dabbled in the new guitar styles like Vinny and Mark did, you know, and So he was a huge, he was hugely important to this band. They didn't have to look anymore for a new guitar player. They had the guy that they needed and they could keep for a good long time. And I would say that in the 80s, besides Paul being the VIP of Kiss and, you know, keeping the band going, I would say Bruce was probably co-VIP. Anybody disagree, Sonny?
You know, you could have an argument. Bruce saved Kiss. It was a guitar era. You got to have somebody you can work with and can do it. And he happened to do both. It's very possible that, you know, this whole conversation we're talking about, you know, Gene trying to tell Mark, no, I want this. No, I want this. No, I want this. And it's possible Gene tells Bruce, I want this. And Bruce does it. He goes, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And Bruce is like, you have no idea what you're talking about. I get what you want. Don't worry. I got you. Right? You want it fast. You want it slower. You want pop sensibility or you want speed? You let me know. I'll just go do it. You guys like it, let me know. If you don't like it, I'll do it again. I don't care. I'm paid here to sit and play guitar. I'll do it all day. Right? So you get a guy that is willing to be a team player without having to have a voice every time that they want it in a band like this, dude, golden. And you were, there's no way Kiss survives through the 80s with Ace. There's no way they implode with Vinny in the 80s. And there's no way they can go on with Mark. Because they would have been at his throat the entire time. Bruce is the guy who ends up saving him.
Brent?
Yeah, as far as all of that goes, the opposite of the previous two guitarists. Bruce is, personality-wise, rock. And I don't mean that he rocks. He is a steady guy. He's going to be there on the day you need him, at the time that you need him. He's going to be ready, and the beauty of his talent and the quality of what he does is he doesn't really have to be prepared, because you're like, this one's fast and this one's bluesy and this one's this and this one. That is, none of that is a problem for this dude, because he is rock solid and understands how to provide. He may not have a super distinctive personal style, but he is a cool guitarist and a wonderful person, you know, kind of falls in that journeyman rocker kind of, you know, hardworking guitar player category for me, and can really work. I mean, I'm not saying he's going to bust out jazz, flamenco, whatever, but he can work all over the spectrum in rock, and makes him essential. You know, just what Sonny said, you know, this is the guy who takes him forward through the next 5, 6, 7 records, couple of slight changes of styles, across those albums. None of it any issue for this dude, and probably would have, you know, if not for the reunion, just kept on going on, because he could. And I have a lot of, you know, I don't so much, I mean, I enjoy what Bruce did, I love some of it, you know. And but I don't associate that with him. A lot of that's Kiss's choices and the music at the time and all that. But, you know, I respect him so much for, you know, his qualities as a person and as a player.
Yes. Yeah, go ahead.
The other thing with Bruce, right? We were talking about class. The guy's got a name. He was in Kiss for umpteen amount of years, so people know who he is. Serafino at Frontiers Records is creating all kinds of super groups, with Lynch bouncing in and out of how many different groups. Mm-hmm. And Bruce has got a gig with Grand Funk. I can only name one Grand Funk song that I'm sure is making him some money, but is not exactly making him a household name. And he works everything around that one gig.
Right.
And that just shows you that he is a journeyman rocker, right? This is the job. It pays money. I make money doing it. They pay me. It's a consistent gig. There's no reason to mess with it.
Right.
But he could have been in anything.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I was telling somebody today that, I was telling somebody today exactly that. It's like, my understanding, and it could be completely wrong, is that after the first cruise, when the Kulick brothers played together, Bob wanted to take that on the road. And apparently, from my understanding, which is probably wrong, but still the story I've heard, is that Bruce was like, but this is what I'm doing. I'm in Grand Funk Railroad. And that shows right there loyalty. This is the band I'm in. I'm able to do this, this, and this because we're off the road, you know, at this point. And even like when my buddy Doug was in California and did the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, Bruce Kulick was there. Bruce was coming with Grand Funk to Atlanta to do a show. I got in touch with my buddy Doug. I said, Bruce is going to be in town. Get in touch with him and have him do a guitar clinic at our store. Came right out, did a guitar clinic. Then I think they took him to the airport the next day. And, you know, he flew out. But he's able to get people that want to see or be with him or hear him enough to work around his schedule. I want you to be at Creatures Fest enough that I'll schedule it when you could be there. You know what I mean? Or I'll make sure that you could be here. Look, Bill Elam says that he's got a banging pancake recipe. We're going to have to ask him about this because I'm like, make some pancakes, man.
Oh, you hadn't heard about that?
Yeah. It was on all over Twitter.
Oh, I didn't hear about that. Yeah. What, was it terrible?
No. It was just, you know, he was, you know, I'm making pancakes today. He was kind of playing the Paul card a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I'm not on Twitter. Twitter scares me. Yeah. There's a lot of yelling on Twitter.
But just like you said, Joe, like Bob comes to him and says, all right, we could take this on the road. We'd go do this. I can totally hear Bruce saying, Bob, that's easy for you to say, dude, you don't got a gig. I got a gig. It's got to work around this. I'm not dumping everything so we can go light the world on fire because we think we're going to make Kiss money out there. Forget that. I'm making the money I make. This has got to be incremental.
Yeah. In my personal opinion, everybody that would love to see Kiss would love to see Bob and Bruce was already on the boat. Could they play clubs? Probably. Yeah, they can play some. They play clubs and sell out
for sure.
But not to the point where Bruce is opening for Kid Rock on a tour and at Sheds right now. You know,
it's like
I saw the commercial, Kid Rock coming to Atlanta, and the band is Grand Funk Railroad opening, and there he is in the picture, which is really weird to see. But there he is on the TV, and I'm like, well, that's his gig, and of course. Once again, everybody always has to remember, we've been doing this show almost 9 years. That's coming up in just a couple of months. We're going to have a big celebration. And this is just an opinion show. Just like you guys that are all giving us opinions right there. You know, this is opinion, and that's what makes this kind of a show awesome and a lot of fun to do, because it's like the best thing about having an opinion that's not involved with politics. We can share them and nobody's getting angry and wanting to burn your house down.
Now, talking about politics, let's go to Fake Ace.
Replace Fraley. I've heard so many different names. This is what I think. Do we go back to Ace? Because he was back in the band. No? Okay. So Tommy Thayer. This is how I feel about Tommy Thayer. I love Tommy Thayer. I really do. I love the fact that he is a team player. I love the fact that he can play like any of the styles that they ask him to. Is he a Vinnie Vincent? No. But can he pull off the solos that they're asking him to pull off? You know, like I Love It Loud or whatever? Yes, he can. Or, you know, or whatever. That's what I love about Tommy. He also seems to be very in tune with the fans, very friendly. Me personally, how do I feel about him wearing the makeup? Sometimes it bothers me, but just because I think that I wish they had just given him his own makeup. And I know that I've said that on other shows, but way back when he joined the band, man, that would have been so much fun to get a new character, you know, because still this was, you know, what, like 15 years, 16 years, 17 years ago, when, you know, he joined the band. he could have done something completely different, and they didn't want to do that, and that's fine. But I'm not like a Kiss Nazi where, you know, I've been at shows where he played Shock Me and I could see people turning their back to the stage, and I was like, really? It's like, it's a band, and I love this band, but I'm not going to be like Tommy there. And I can tell you this, Sonny and I met him in Indianapolis, and he was amazing. Am I lying?
Oh, you froze up there for a second. You said we met?
We met Tommy. Sonny and I met Tommy in Indianapolis, and it was amazing.
Amazing. No doubt.
One of the best things was Sonny and I waited. Sonny and I were last to meet Bruce and Tommy. In the line. We did that on purpose. And as I'm about to leave, Sonny's like, yo, don't leave. And Sonny looks at Keith LaRue and Bruce and Tommy and gets them all in the pit. And we're all doing pictures together. They never stopped. They just, we're just doing like a, I'm like doing like a prison photo where I'm not like you would think, but I'm on one knee going, you know, like this. And I got my sunglasses on. I have these pictures and they're amazing. And Tommy Thayer never one time complained. I walked over and said, hey, will you make a bumper for me? Cause there's some people that won't. And he absolutely, let's go. And he made a bumper and he was just super nice, man. And I can say that I love that. I want that in a guitar player that I'm going to meet, especially if it's in Kiss. That's my favorite band. To the day I die, everybody's going to know me as the Kiss guy. It's just the way it's going to be. And I sometimes it bothers me when you know, the whole makeup thing, but 99% of the time it doesn't. You know why? Because this is the Kiss I'm getting, and I'm happy to have it, because otherwise I'd be going to see bands that I can't even pronounce their name with Brent, and I don't want to do that.
You could go to Burning Witches with me. I saw them last night or two nights ago. Burning Witches.
I have no idea who that is. Is it a girl band?
Switzerland.
You were in Switzerland?
No.
I know you were in Switzerland. Okay. So let's see, I'm gonna pick who we go with here. Brent, what do you think? Tommy Thayer.
For me, just like you said, Tommy is not Ace. He's not the spaceman. I have nothing against the guy, but he did not write any of the songs I am there to see. He did not play on the recordings of any of those songs. He didn't originate any of the style that made Kiss special. And I don't look at him the same way that I see Eric Singer, even though they're both in the makeup and the costumes and whatever. You know, Eric is Kiss history and has done those things. I don't have anything against Tommy, but to me, he's kind of just a ghost in a costume, you know. I do respect him as a successful and organized guy who's made a lot of stuff happen for Kiss. And I also see him as a good person who does a lot of stuff for other people, whether it's fans or charities or whatever. I'm not knocking him as a person. I'm just saying that I don't really see him as a member of Kiss. I mean, I like Black and Blue even, you know, whatever. It's not, I'm not trying to, you know, kick him or anything. I'm just saying that it does not do much for me to see him up there playing with them.
So now, here's the thing that's really interesting. It's like, you get people like Brent here, who's like a total jerk when it comes to Tommy Thayer. And I'm just kidding. No, what I'm saying is you get Brent understands Tommy's role, though. Yes?
I'm sorry, you cut out. I what?
Oh, I don't know what's going on. You understand Tommy's role. That's what you get that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you know, more than a lot of people. It goes, you know, everything he's responsible for goes a lot deeper than slapping on makeup and playing the show.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of people that have videotapes and box sets in their houses that Tommy hands on, you know, and probably
and
still
books
doing
and
stuff.
And books, on and on.
Yeah, I have one here somewhere. Ooh, look at this book. I have a Tommy Thayer book. It's called Ernest Hummingbird. Do you guys not know that Tommy Thayer had something to do with this? Darius Rucker and Tommy Thayer invite you. Look, I'm not joking. You guys didn't know that? I even look at this.
They're not don't know. It's called don't care.
I got him to sign it.
That's
not
nice.
Amazing. Okay. Anyway, so there was a piece of history. I bet a lot of you guys didn't know. Okay. Ernest Hummingbird. Okay. So it's amazing to me. There's little middle of the road. There's mostly extreme people on both sides who are like, he has no business in the makeup. And then I hate him. And then there's people on the other side who are like, I love Tommy. And, you know, we've said it before here, younger people, he's their spaceman. He's not my spaceman or Brent's, but to my son, that's all he's ever seen, you know? So he knows who Ace is, trust me. But my son's spaceman is the guy that he's seen in concert twice, or watched the videos and stuff like that. But that's a younger, you know, a younger generation is being inspired by Tommy Thayer. It's just natural. It has to happen. You bring a 10-year-old kid to a Kiss concert and they're going to be inspired by Vinny. And this is where Brent says.
But they're not being inspired by him because he's just doing other people's stuff. So, you know, I think you have to credit the people whose costume he's wearing, makeup he's wearing, music he's playing. You know, he really didn't have anything to do with any of it. He just happens to be there.
But still playing
wise,
that's my
opinion.
Right? No. No, of course, that's amazing. But
he can play it, you know.
But like a kid.
He can play the music.
Right, but a kid at a Kiss concert sees him playing that's 10 years old, doesn't know the things that you and I and Sonny know, or most of the people listening to this.
Sure.
So they are, I mean, that is the inspiration. It's just like, you know, if I saw somebody recreating the Mona Lisa, I would look at that and go, I want to try painting. This guy can paint, you know? So it's just, I'm not saying that Ace's solos are like the Mona Lisa. I'm just going to go ahead, maybe in Black Diamond or 100,000 years. Wow. But
I think you don't understand the Mona Lisa.
Oh, that was a hit in the balls.
That's okay.
Was that about my education? All right, Hollywood.
Okay, so I got a line with Tommy.
Save us,
Sonny. I'll tell you that I got a line with Tommy. I'll get to it. Let me start with, I don't like black and blue. Tommy, love you. You're a nice guy. I don't like black and blue at all. Okay, that's just me personally. Don't like it. There's maybe two songs I can stomach. The rest of it, I could care less. He wrote a lot of that stuff. Whatever. I think Kiss got unbelievably lucky that you're asking somebody to play somebody else's role for the rest of their life, that they found somebody, one, that could do it, and two, that had tried on his own to be his own man and not been as successful as he is today. If they would have got somebody young that could do it, that person would have been itching at wanting to break out on their own and go do their own thing someday. Tommy's never going to want to do that because he's already done that and he's already seen that and it's over. I think the other thing that's different is for us, growing up with Kiss, we identified with a character. We picked a character. We said that guy was our guy. This new generation, they just either listen to Kiss or they don't listen to Kiss. They'll go to a show, now go to a show. But nobody says, Paul's my guy, and they're 22 years old. That's just not it anymore. So there's still four characters, but they're not the same as they were in 1978. To me, what Tommy is doing, I have nothing but respect for Tommy. Anybody who would have got that gig at what it's paying would have done the same gig. And, you know, he's kind of stuck. He's typecast as an actor, basically. But I don't think he cares because he tried Broadway before then. Didn't work. So who cares, right? Now, my line, where the line is for me. No shock me, no rocket ride. Like, that's where the line is for me. Like, I can't hear the ace vocal through Tommy. Like that's where I get weirded out. Besides that, everything else works for me.
Yeah, and I do agree with that. Like I said, I've seen people that have like during the Sonic Boom tour, I couldn't believe it. I was standing there and watching people turn their backs. I was like, silly to me to go that far, but I agree. You know, those are signature songs, you know, that Ace played. Those were hit, you know, his signature thing, much like Beth. You know, I have an issue with Beth being played, but it has to be played. You know, you have to hear that on the final. We have to hear it on the final tour. No, all right, I hear what you're saying. But for me, you know, I want to hear Beth. But I mean, I guess maybe I don't. But I don't know. You can
play that on the way out. They break the guitar, the balloons throw, the band leaves, and Beth plays at the end instead of God Gave Rock and Roll to You.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, so all right, so as we close everything down here, first of all, thank you very much for being here with us. I knew that this was going to start off where it was very bouncy and then all of a sudden go to this rah kind of thing, but we still didn't really, you know, it's not like, you know, we're not angry or anything, but that's the cool thing about the show. Let us know what you guys think. Podcast Rock City 1. Did I break up again?
That's the number one.
Oh, okay.
No.
He's on a delay. That's what the issue is. It's a delay. Yeah.
It's a delay. Okay. At gmail.com. PodcastRockCity1. That's the number one at gmail.com. Also, if you look up there in the corner, you can see a QR code. If you grab your phone, if you're not watching the show on your phone, if you're looking at a computer or a TV, hover over that with your camera, tap on it, and go to our Patreon and check it out. We do fun stuff every week on the Patreon, and you guys, for just a couple of bucks a month, can join the Patreon and get extra stuff from us. And that's pretty much it. Sonny, do you have anything to add?
Thanks for listening. Can't wait. I see Kiss in 4 days.
So you're going to Ohio.
Wow.
Going to the Dayton show.
Okay. Where are you sitting?
Haven't got my ticket yet because I only need the one. So I'm waiting it out. I'm going to pick a ticket, the one I want, because it's not sold out. So there's onesie tickets everywhere.
Rosie said she'll be there, so make sure you say hi. Definitely. And keep this in mind. This is very important. I need a Gene or a Paul balloon.
Good Lord. You think I'm going to be there that long? You. I'm bouncing before Best starts.
I'm terrible. But Sonny's 7 foot tall, so he reaches this boom ball balloon fall.
I told you he was going to have you getting balloons for him.
Anyway, I just want to get the full set. Yeah, because, you know, Kiss fans are crazy. Brent, what do you got to add?
This was a lot of fun to do. You know, I might have been kind of negative about a couple of the people, not as people, but as far as their contribution, and that's okay. Not everyone's going to see it the same way, and it's all good.
Oh, absolutely. You guys, I had a great time today. Please pay attention to everything that's going on for Creatures Fest. I want you guys to understand, if you're going to be at Creatures Fest, we're giving away, Podcast Rock City will be giving away these three records. Rosie, get in touch with me. I need to hook this up. We're going to do a drawing for anybody that signs up for our podcasts, okay? So if you've already signed up for our podcast, I'm going to do something for you guys too. We'll get to that. If you're there, you could. We're going to do a giveaway every day. We've got this new Elder that just came out, German version with the foil cover. We have a Vinny autographed Creatures of the Night, and we have a Vinny autographed Lick It Up. Plus, we have, I'll show you guys them next week. We have drawstring backpacks and that say Podcast Rock City on it. And if we don't run out of them on our show right here where you guys are, when it's all over, I'll have a few left that we'll make sure that we give away to you guys if you can't make it out. And you know what I'm going to say. We love podcasts. And we love Kiss podcasts, especially most of them anyway. And you're going to hear the commercials for all the ones that we love right after this in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you, and goodbye.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City. Have you heard of the Click Tees shop yet? These t-shirts reach into the deepest nostalgia of the hottest band in the world with designs like the Demon's First Stage shirt, the Rock Skull, the Spaceman's very first stage shirt, Eagle Wings, the Catman's Cadillac Michigan jacket, the Black Cat, the Phantom of the Park Talisman, and a wide array of Eric Carr tees. With over 30 killer designs, these t-shirts dive so deep, they're like opening a private vault of rare classic material. Click Tees is not exactly all tees. They also have products like mugs, hats, necklaces, pillows, socks, stickers, and guitar picks. Podcast Rock City is happy to announce that we have partnered with Click Tee Shop, and we are now selling our merchandise there too. Buy some merchandise and let everyone know you're a fan of our show. Go to clickteeshop.com, that's click with a K, to check out all the great stuff to choose from.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world.
Kiss!
It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
Hey, this is Stephen Michael.
And Sonny Hollywood Pooney, and we are from the Growing Up Rock Podcast.
Come check out the Growing Up Rock Podcast, where each and every week we talk to rock stars past and present and come up with some fun themes all to the beat of some killer hard rock and metal music.
Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and you can also check out our episodes, concert reviews, and album reviews at growingUpRock.com.
That's growingUpRock.com. GrowingUpRock.com.
Growing Up Rock.
Turn it up.
Hey everybody, this is Jody Havnot. I want to invite you to come hang out with me and Mr. Nate Dimmel in the Dummy Room. The Dummy Room is a podcast that's all about having fun, talking about some great music, and we also have some really cool guests too. Check us out, man. I think you really dig it.
No gratitude need be voiced. Your mind speaks to us.